The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey everyone, welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick, and you're listening to Matt Slick Live. If you want to give me a call, five open lines, wide open, 877-207-2276. The last four digits spell C-A-R-M on your dial there. So it's carm.org, C-A-R-M.org is the website, Christian Apologetics Research Ministry. I know that a lot of times people listen to the show, but they've never checked out the website. You might want to consider that. I know. And you've been to websites. Well, this is a little bit different. It's easy to navigate, has a search engine, and we have like 6,000 articles on it dealing with all kinds of topics. What we do is we write topically, like we might write Christian theology section, you know, and write 100 to 150 articles just on Christian theology, or in Mormonism, over 100 articles, Catholicism, over 100 articles. We write this stuff so people can go in and learn what the truth is about various things biblically. I'm doing that now with COVID, of all things, and working on more articles, which I hope to release tomorrow. And I had an interesting conversation today with a friend of mine, Trevor. And Trevor's a great brother in the Lord. He's a Jewish guy. He became a Christian. And we were talking, and I actually took notes out of some of the things he was saying and combined them with some of my notes and things I've already been thinking and saying. And he and I are on the same track. What's happening in America? And I believe that, this is my opinion, that America is in bad shape because the Christian men have not done what they're supposed to do in the church. They have not stood up to be Christian men. They've not stood up and been strong. They are too comfortable and not standing on the truth of the Word of God, not taking risks for the Word of God. I also believe that that Christian worship has become narcissistic, which is a sign of apathy and a weakness. When I say it's narcissistic, the songs, worship songs are so much about, Lord, bless me. Lord, let your spirit fall on me. Lord, help me. And it's me, me, me. And the nature of love is other-centered. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And so we're to emulate Christ, pick up our cross daily, Luke 9:28, I think it is, or 23, and walk forward following him. And he gave us the great commission to make disciples of all nations. This is what we are supposed to do. Now let me ask you a question here. I want you to think about something. America is going down the toilet. It's obvious that we have morons in government who are doing all kinds of unconstitutional stuff, who are incredibly immoral and promoting the killing of the unborn, promoting homosexuality, promoting ungodliness, and attacking the godly people. They are doing that which is evil. We Christians have basically been comfortable, not worried about it, because we've been so comfortable that we've done nothing. As a whole, now, of course, there are individual Christians who've gone door to door, who, you know, witnessed. I get that. And sometimes Christians, you know, their moms are raising the kids for the glory of God. That's fine. But I mean, as a whole, the Christian church has failed. And the evidence and the proof of that is the fact that our country is in such bad shape. Now, I believe that we need to be very careful as Christians. We might want to consider the options. Do we build a log cabin out in the woods and wait for the judgment of God to fall upon the unbelievers and hopefully our country turns out better? Or do we get the gospel preached? Do we focus on that word, the gospel word, which is what needs to be preached? Because Jesus says, go make disciples of all nations. If we aren't going to do it voluntarily, it seems to me that he's going to, well, kind of force us to do it. There's some weird relationship between persecution and Christians. And as Trevor said, I said, man, I'm going to quote this and claim it for my own. And he laughed, but he said, the gospel often only spreads across the bridge of martyrs. And I like that statement, and I'm going to give it, you know, to Trevor the kudos for that. And the thing is that we need, and he made another comment, which I recorded too. We must get rid of our fear of death. I think he's right. Christians often are too afraid of death, too afraid of suffering. And so because of it, they don't preach that gospel. Which means they're not trusting God. And they don't believe the truth of the power of that gospel message. And it is true. We must be rid of that fear of death. We must be rid of that fear of persecution. We must get that gospel preached. We must, as Christians, repent. We must turn from our sin. We must look inward and find, what sin have I committed and against whom, and make it right. And we must look to Jesus and say, Jesus, please reach through my hard heart, my calloused heart, and break me, that I might be shaped for your use. It doesn't matter if I'm here or there, or rich or poor, or in jail or not in jail, or forced into relocation camps because they don't take the vaccine or whatever. That wherever we are, we would learn to get that gospel preached. And I think it's true. We must be rid of the fear of death. Now, it's easy to say. It's not so easy to do. But the early Christian martyrs, that was the case. They knew that when they died, they would go be with the Lord. And I remember reading in Fox's Book of Martyrs, and I won't be able to, over the radio, describe what happened, where the Catholic Church was persecuting certain people, and a particular horrendous situation where a husband and wife and the three children, they had converted to Christianity away from Catholicism and its multitudinous apostasies and false doctrines, and they were captured. And one at a time, I have to skip details, but one at a time, they were killing the children, commanding the man, the father, to return to the true faith. And if he didn't, they would kill another one and another one. And he said something, and it was recorded, I never forgot. He said, and I don't know the exact wording, but it went like this. Each one that you kill, you deliver into the hands of my Lord. And what a thing to say. If we are so afraid of persecution and death as Christians, then we aren't following Christ. We aren't following as a disciple's example was. And we need to be ready and willing to suffer for Christ's sake, especially in this world now where persecution is on the rise, where our government is turning against its own people, where the Constitution is being trampled underfoot, where vaccines are being mandated in an unconstitutional manner, and where our religious freedom guaranteed in the First Amendment is also being trampled, that no restrictions are to be given by the government to prohibit the free exercise of religion. And I'm writing an article and working on it on the religious exemption based on the issue of the persecution of the unborn in order to facilitate the testing and development of COVID vaccines. And this study, this article, has brought me into Nazi Germany and what's called the Nuremberg Code, written in 1946, I think it was. And the Nuremberg Code was a result of the Nazis defending themselves, the lawyers defending the Nazis, saying various things about, well, experiments and medical stuff, and I won't get into the details. Pretty gruesome stuff. And as a Christian, I cannot, in good conscience, participate in benefiting from the suffering and the experimentation on human tissue from sacrificed babies in order to benefit others. That's my opinion. And I'm going to be writing about that more and urging others for religious exemptions based on that. Now, I don't know what's going on, but I'm going to tell you that we Christians need to stand firm, need to stand strong. There is going to be an increase of persecution. The liberals are gaining more power. They already are well entrenched in our schools and brainwashing people into socialist agendas. They are thoroughly infecting the media. We have corporations who are gaining more power. Like, you know, Amazon as an example. Restrictions of movement caused Amazon to grow in its wealth and its power. And consolidation of power is into fewer and fewer hands. They will work to keep their own power at the expense of the people. This is what happens. And so, as the government seeks to force vaccinations on all people, I believe that it will continue to force more of its oppressive means and statutes on those who just don't want to get vaccinated. I believe it's going to come. But here's the thing, Christians. We need to be praying to be used of God. We need to be praying to be set free from the fear of persecution. And I'm not saying be casual about everything. We have to feed our families. We got to do what we got to do. And I know it's not easy. But we got to think, what is God allowing to happen in this country and why? He's allowing the country to fail. And he's allowing other nations to look down upon us. And he's allowing the internal destruction of our system and the hypocrisy of the leadership who exempt themselves from the laws they pass for others. And I can't even personally, I don't even trust the election procedures anymore. I don't know about you guys, but I don't. So this is just my opinion on that. But the solution is not to hunker down in a bomb shelter for 2 years until it all goes away. The solution is, first, we repent ourselves, and we turn to the Lord in repentance as well, and we ask Him to send us out into the world. And sometimes to do that, He's really got to work in us and through us, and He's got to break us and shape us. But if you're going to ask God to use you, I have to warn you that He will, and that you have to be ready to be shaped. And just be ready, all right? All right, well, there you go. Let's get on the phones with Mario from Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Mario, welcome. You're on the air.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you for taking my call.
It's a
pleasure. Quick question. I kind of know that the answer, but I just wanted to get your feedback on it and see how you would explain it to other people. I know in the Bible it talks about spiritual death, people being dead spiritually, and therefore we do have the spirit of man, and then we also have the spirit of God available to us. That's when we are born again, correct?
We're born again by the will of God and the work of God, not by our own will. John 1, 12 and 13 and 1 Peter 1, 3 talks about this. Okay, yeah?
Okay. Okay, and so the following up question would be,
hold on, Mario. We got a break. Hold on.
Sure.
Okay. Sorry about that. That's where the break is. Formulate your question. We'll get right back to you after the break, okay? Hey, folks, two open lines. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, welcome back, everyone. We have two open lines. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. Mario, welcome back.
Yes, thank you, Matt.
Sure.
Yeah, so the question was with regard to humanity being born with a human spirit, right, and lacking the spirit of God by nature, right? Can you elaborate a little bit on that in your own words, please?
Well, the Spirit of God often is referred to the Holy Spirit. Now, by the nature of God's existence, he's everywhere all the time. So he indwells all people by the sense of his omnipresence. But there is a sense in which the Holy Spirit indwells us in a saving way. And that's different than just his presence. So when he lives in us, there's this communion and this intimacy that we have as Christians that the unbelievers don't have. And so the Spirit of God can live in us that way, and that's what that is. That doesn't happen until we're born again. Okay?
Okay, so that means that every human being has the Spirit of man, but not necessarily the Spirit of God in them.
Right. So every human being has a spirit, a human spirit, otherwise they're not human. So, yeah, but they're not all possessing the Spirit of God. Right.
So that means that when a human without the Spirit of God dies, it's completely disconnected from the presence of God for eternity, correct?
Well, yeah, he goes to hell. Uh-huh.
Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. That was my question. Thank you so much, man. I appreciate
sure,
it very much.
All right, man. God bless.
Have a good day.
You too.
You too.
All right. Three open lines, 877-207-2276. Devin, who I met in a store just a couple, 3 weeks ago, I think, right?
I think it was like early, no, excuse me, it was like late last year, I think, or earlier this year, I don't remember.
Oh, okay. I meet a lot of people that come up to me and they go, hey, Matt, I'm like this happened, I was at the store, what was it? I was at the store actually 2 days ago, and I'm checking out, and someone was waving at me, hey, Matt, I'm like, who? I don't know who they are, but they recognize me, so it happens. So what's up, buddy? What do you got, man?
So I just have two questions. One's general, and the other's about COVID. So first question is, so I know that you moved, I think, from 94.1 on the radio, but, like, like what radio station are you currently operating in, or are you just doing, like, a general, like, independent thing?
No, I'm on radio. I'm on 16, last count, 16 stations. Real radio stations on the East Coast, no longer here in Idaho, though. I'm in Ohio, Utah, up and down the East Coast. Okay.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes more sense.
But if you want me on, if you want me on, and people actually lately have said that they miss me on the radio here, and they like listening to me. So, you know, I've been on for a couple of years here. But if you want me on, you got to start asking radio stations to put me on. You never know.
Probably because they don't like you.
Yeah, and because I say things about Catholicism that they don't like. I think that's one of the things. Catholicism is a bankrupt, false religion. And there's stuff. There's stuff. I'm not going to say too much, but the Lord closes one door, and the Lord opens up other doors by his grace.
Yep. So my second question was about COVID-19. I know that you've said a few times about natural immunity being like 13% more effective than the actual vaccine. Mm-hmm. Where can I find that information? Because that's really interesting.
Go to carm.org/COVID. And if you do that, in fact, I'll do it with you right now, or just walk through it. So I'm doing it. carm.org COVID, and it'll take you to the page with a lot of articles. Go down to COVID outline information. And I keep expanding that. This is an easy reach thing. And then just type in the number 13. Natural immunity up to 13 times better than vaccines for Delta variant. And that's medrxiv.org. It's a medical site. And an Israeli study also from sciencemag.org. And here's something interesting just underneath that. Quote, the longer these periods of viral or bacterial low exposure are, the greater the likelihood of future epidemics due to the decreased spread of RSV, respiratory syncytial, hard to pronounce, virus, this year as a result of anti-COVID-19 measures. The natural protection of the population against RSV at the end of winter will be lower than usual, raising fears of a more important RSV epidemic in the future. In other words, the less we're exposed to stuff now, the greater the immunity debt later that we'll have to pay. And might be a future epidemic worse than what we experience now. This is one of the fears that they're worrying about. Anyway, it's right underneath that quote there, the 13. Just go to that COVID outline, and it's right there. I keep updating that file, and I'm writing more articles.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's there.
Yeah, I'm not really seeing it, but I'll probably find it.
It's
kind of funny because, well, mm-hmm. Okay, here, I'll find it. It's okay. Really funny because I actually saw it was on Facebook or something, of course, of all places, but it was sitting there saying something like 98% of, like, hospitalizations or something. I don't know. I feel like it was kind of over-exaggerated. Like,
well, the numbers are inaccurate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm just mm-hmm. like, yeah, that's why there's, like, really fishiness going on.
Well, there's misrepresentation of a lot of facts. I'm finding this out more and more and more. So here in the Boise area, I've heard that there's a shortage of beds because of COVID. Well, one of the reasons there's a shortage of beds is because nurses are quitting. They're not going to take the vaccine. You can't have somebody in a bed if there's no one there to take care of you. So they now have a shortage of beds. They don't say it's because the nurses are quitting because they don't want to take this vaccine. No, they say, hey, there's a shortage of beds. So they misrepresent the information. This is it's happening all over the country and other parts of the world. This is my opinion, that this is being used as a totalitarian takeover kind of thing. It sounds conspiratorial, but they certainly are using it. It's not an issue of health, because if it was an issue of health, then why are they opening up the borders and letting thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people come in illegally who are not vaccinated? And just come in, and then distributing them around the country. But no, it's a health issue. We got to be vaccinated. So no, the inconsistency there is so strong that we can't trust what they're telling us anymore. And that's the problem with all of this, that most of the population that I'm aware of has lost confidence in the government. And I know, at least in my circle of friends, none of them trust the elections anymore. None of them.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what's happening. And if the immunity debt does come back or hit us hard, then the government will use it to restrict more of our rights. And this is what's coming because the Christians have failed to do their job and stuff, and I'll write about that and teach about that more. Yeah, I've been doing a lot of research, and I'm getting more and more convinced that COVID is serious. We can't ignore it, but they're using it to manipulate and gain control. That's a bad thing. All right, buddy. All right.
Thank you, Matt.
All right. Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Right, everyone, welcome back to the show. Let's get to Blake from Texas. Blake, welcome. You're on the air.
Thanks, sir. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, so this week I was informed that my employer is moving to mandatory vaccinations.
Mm-hmm.
And I have submitted the request for religious exemption and submitted a statement letter. And in the form that they provided, they say that they may request further documentation or statements from pastors or spiritual advisors.
Okay.
And I was wondering, not to put you on the spot, if you would consider putting a support letter together and maybe post it on CARM that we could access and use in support of that.
Yep, I'm working on it.
Okay.
I'm actually working on it. Right now, on my computer, I have articles open that I'm working on. One of them deals with what's called the Nuremberg Code. Another one deals with the issues of control. I have the Bill of Rights opened, alternatives and stuff. And then I'm also working on something about an article dealing, we should not use aborted human tissue to develop vaccines, because that's a supportive article for when I write a recommended exemption letter. And then so I need to have those other things in place before that letter's there so that people can document it. And so that I can say, this is why. And then I'm going to put this in. And so I'm developing it. I'm working on it. It's a serious thing. And what they're going to do, I believe what's going to do, they'll probably grant religious exemptions for a while. And then the stupid federal government run by these morons is going to pass some law in violation of the First Amendment saying that they have the right to force things for the safety of everybody else. And that it'll be forced. And then I also know it's in that outline that I was mentioning to others about camps. And I'm really worried about it because isolation camps, containment through household, neighborhood, and camps. And I have the documentation from the CDC about moving people to camps if it was really bad. Well, okay, so I'm concerned about that. Nothing is going to happen, but I just know mankind. Mankind is evil. And unless they're constrained by goodness, they will continue to perform evil. And so, that's why I'm saying to people, get ready for persecution. And if I'm wrong, people can in a year can say, Matt, you're completely wrong. Oh, praise God. Okay, good. Praise God. I don't, who'd want to be right about this stuff? But we'll see. So,
The statement letter I provided, I borrowed from another website that had posted it to for people to use, and I changed some of the wording on it. But it
could
was
you send it to me?
Presented the argument about the use of aborted fetal
yep.
cells in the research and development.
Yep. And I'm relating it to Nazism. I'm actually relating it to the Nazi trials. Yes. Uh huh.
Right. The form that my employer provided, it kind of gives them so much leeway on denying the religious exemption. I mean, it says that it can't be political, philosophical, et cetera, et cetera. So, I mean, they basically lay out a bunch of reasons why they can deny it. So,
yeah, they're going
to. I have no problem with publicly affirming my faith, but when it comes to employment, I don't agree with that. You know what I'm saying? Like they're basically testing. They're being the judge of my faith to say, well, we don't believe that it is a sincerely held belief, or that's not a strong enough argument, or I don't even know who's going to be reviewing the exemption forms. Is there anybody like-minded of the same worldview? It's a very liberal company that I work for.
That's a very good question. That's a good thing. I'm glad you said that. I'm going to write this down. Who will review your exemption request? And that's good. Are they qualified religiously?
Right.
That's a good, very good. See, I'm learning. See, I love this. People call up and I learn stuff. Good for you. Could you send me that letter that you sent or that you got? Is it possible?
Sure.
You send it to info@carm.org. I want others to send me something similar. I actually tried, or I did, I put a request in at the ACLJ, American Centers for Law and Justice, Christian organization, asking for any information and help I can get in that at area. I'm also researching the U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. And I have to sign up and do some stuff in order to get that information. I'm going through it. I'm trying to help it out. See, I'm at a good place. I mean, I don't have to get a vaccine because I just work at home. But what's going to happen, though? What's going to happen is they're going to start saying if you want to go into a bank, you want to go into a store, you're going to start doing this stuff.
Absolutely.
And then what's going to happen, then there's going to be an underground market that's going to develop. It is, people don't want to take this thing. I don't trust the vaccine. I personally don't trust it. I've read too much about it. If I were forced to take it for some reason, I would stay home, make sure my wife was there and I'd have passwords given to her in case I die, and I'd be ready with whatever it is, just in case, because I've heard some people getting heart attacks, spontaneous miscarriages, people losing mm-hmm. function of limbs. This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Never would
this
it be allowed.
This vaccine moves all throughout the body, unlike
yes.
most vaccines. There's mm-hmm. been studies showing that it nanoparticles that are in it get in the brain. I mean, there's
yep.
a whole slew of things that could happen. And I'm not anti-vax by any means.
Me either.
You know, it comes down to a personal choice, and there are so many other things that we deal with in this world and the liberal government control. I mean, could you uh-huh. imagine the tables being turned and people being forced to do other mm-hmm. things that they don't want to do? I mean, it's just, there's no justification for it. And talking about workplace, I actually work from home. I work remote for this company, and
really?
I do work in the field as needed, but I don't go to an office Monday through Friday. I mean, they, because of this virus, they have allowed that, and they're going to move to a hybrid model where you can still work remote if you want to. So that's kind of a non-issue. And when I say I go to the field, I mean, I'm literally outside
right.
doing site visits and stuff like that on construction projects. So it's unnecessary completely. You know?
It is. It's an intrusion into our privacy. And it's mm-hmm. an overreach by the government and by corporations. One of the unfortunate things that seems to be happening, I've been reading articles and reading other information attached to these articles or within them, is that corporations are gaining more and more power. And they're working in concert with governments and vice versa in order to retain that power and that control. And they, you know, why do they want vaccines? Yeah. I'm asking questions. Is there something in there that they can control us with? I mean, I don't know. Is it just, no, it's just an issue of everything's fine. It's just an issue of they want it and they want you to submit. I don't know.
I think it's a submission. Yeah.
I lean that way too.
Unfortunately, there's always, hindsight's always 20/20, but it seems like there's always a, they have a reason behind what they want to do. You know, it comes to be found out in some point in the future that there was a motive behind it, you know. And
yep.
I guess we'll just have to wait and see what that is. But you're talking about camps and stuff like that. I mean, Australia's doing that. California has mentioned buying out or renting out hotels to do the same thing. So when people are doing it, it's not totally unfounded to think that it could happen. You know, so
that's right.
There's always those possibilities.
That's right. Why why are they doing this? Why are they? I believe there's a substantial difference between the left and the right. Now the far right has got some problems, but it seems to be in the far left, the Marxist mentality, the socialist mentality. They say that. Or their philosophy is that the problem with society is not people, but the government. And so the government needs to be changed, and the best solution is socialism. That's the philosophy of Karl Marx. And this is what's being implemented. And so they think they know better than the regular population. They have the right to impose their will because society has to be changed according to their understanding. Hey, buddy, we're out of time. Okay, buddy, there's a blank. Talk to you later, man.
Thank you. I look forward to your help. Thank you.
Okay, God bless. Send me that stuff. Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the last segment of the show. Let's get to Greg from Atlanta, Georgia. Greg, you're on the air.
Hey, Matt, how are you?
I'm doing fine, buddy. What do you got?
Well, Matt, I appreciate you taking my call. I was a Jehovah's Witness elder for 47 years and
wow.
came out about 3 years ago with my family.
Wow.
And I have been attending a church that has been directed by Andy Stanley, and was reading one of his books called Irresistible. It really kind of set good with my heart. I just wanted to get your thoughts. Do you know about his theology on Christianity now, going into the next
During the break, because I saw your question, did a little research, and I need to do some more. And there's an article, Beware of Andy Stanley. And he seems to be tolerant of homosexuality. It's a well-documented article. And disparages the Bible, and I can't recommend him. In fact, I would recommend you don't go there.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, no, he has a total different theology on the Old Testament and the New Covenant, you know, New Testament, New Covenant, and it resounded with my heart, and the only reason being was just the fact that, you know, with the law of Christ or the law of love, he really promotes a horizontal kind of a relationship more than a vertical relationship. And well, so I don't want to get deceived again, if you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't blame you. What I would do if I were you, one of the things I would do is make sure you keep in contact with us here at CARM. You can email us at info@carm.org. I have a lot of sympathy for you because, you know, you were in that brainwashing cult for years. Now you're not so sure. And now you're so desperate, you're talking to a guy named Slick on the radio. That's, you know, that's pretty bad. So, you know, it's...
No, I have been watching you for years, to be honest with you, Matt. Even when I was a witness, I always just enjoyed your commentary and your Bible-based theology. So,
well, praise God, you know, and by God's grace only. Well, there are good churches out there. There are some good ones.
Yeah.
And I don't know, you're in Atlanta, Georgia, so I don't know the area at all. But I would recommend finding a Reformed church. When it teaches Reformed theology, you'll just be light years ahead. But not all of them are good, and this is a real problem. Some Baptist churches are good, and some are not. What I do have on the web is what to look out for in a church, or things to check out in a church on CARM. You could just type that in, and you'll find it.
Okay.
And what you could do is call up and ask questions. You know, do you believe in the Trinity? You know, the resurrection of Christ, the deity of Christ, you know, and all these things. Hopefully you've got all those down now. And then there's other things as well. And if you have a particular individual, research the individual, like Andy Stanley. And to be honest, as I'm looking at this article, Beware of Andy Stanley, I'm really surprised at some of the things that are directly quoted. This is written actually the very same style, the very same way I would write. I just get right into it and start, here's the quotes, this is what he says, this is where it is, here's the documentation. That's what I do. And he says, there's no intention of pushing Christians' agenda on other people. He says churches should not make people feel that they have to leave because they're gay. And it's documentation, the Gospel Herald, April 23rd, 2015. Okay, in a sermon entitled When Gracie Met Truthy, Stanley described a couple in his church who divorced when the wife discovered that the husband was in a relationship with another man. And instead of disciplining the man, the church allowed the homosexual couple to move in to another campus of North Point Church and work together as a host team. Now that's a sign of apostasy, flat out.
Yeah.
So we don't do that kind of a thing. And if he is promoting that action, then he's not qualified to be a pastor, flat out. And because 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1 says that the elder, when a pastor is an elder, is supposed to be able to teach sound doctrine or refute error. That's not to say we snot all over homosexuals. It's just that, no, if he was in a homosexual relationship, he needs to be disciplined, lovingly, biblically disciplined, lovingly done so. But you don't just say move to someplace else and continue on. And and then he disparages the Bible, too. So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly, gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. Oh, that's Nehemiah 8:8. I was going to look for something else. no one in the scripture, I forgot, you have to read it yourself. Don't say the Bible says, say the author's name who wrote the Bible. That's what Stanley said. And don't say the Bible says. And when I you know, if I quote Paul, I'll often say, God says. If I quote Nehemiah, God says in his word, because it's inspired. So when someone says, don't say the Bible says, or don't say God says, but say the author's name who wrote it, say that person says. And you could say that too, but you see the problem. It's a denigration of the sufficiency and inspiration of Scripture. And with this kind of a thing, other errors will creep in. They will creep in. And
how far do you think, Matt, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Do you think that he's off from the Jehovah's Witness doctrines? I mean, am I going from worse to bad, or am I going at least from bad to better?
Oh, you're going from...
Does that
from,
make any sense?
Yeah. I mean, the Jehovah's Witnesses, you know, it's just a non-Christian cult. I don't believe Stanley's not a Christian. I believe that he's wimpy and diaperinian in a lot of his theological areas, that he needs to be corrected. I would love to sit with people like him and just say, let's discuss biblical theology. I've been doing this for 41 years. I've discussed it every which way and go through the issues. You know, in fact, a friend of the family here was over a couple of days ago, and this is an example of something, and he said, hey, Matt, what do you think of this one book? And he's a young man. And I said, well, what's the book about? And he says, well, it's about, allowing God to work in your life and accomplishing great things. And I said, really? That's what it's about? Allowing God to do these things in your life? He said, yeah. And I said, so let me get this straight. So the book is telling you that you have to learn to allow the infinitely holy sovereign king of the universe to do something in your life? That's not how it works. And it's right. It sounds so good. You know, we allow God to work in our lives. It's a very subtle thing. Of course we do. It's up to us. No, it's not. And
that's not,
so
that's right.
It's not. You know, there is a God. You are not him. And God is sovereign. So, you know, I had to teach, you know, we talked for 20 minutes, very politely. I just told him, here, watch out for these things. So these are the kinds of things that they watch out for. When anybody denigrates the Word of God in any way, that's bad, or is not keen on the issue of sin and the necessity of repentance of it, then that's not good. If they compromise, and watch to see if any preacher, when they get up to the pulpit, if he's, you know, go early to a church, see if he's by himself, see if he wets his index finger, puts it up to the wind, and see which way the doctrinal wind is blowing, so he can preach that day. You know, true men of God are going to speak in what the truth of God's word says, and as I often will say sometimes in preaching and on the radio, hey, this is what it says. If you don't like it, that's not my problem. It's what God says.
Right.
Not to be mean,
right.
But this is it. Right. Just a messenger.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Well, I appreciate it, Matt. I look forward to maybe asking you a few more questions in the future. I certainly am looking for some good direction with regard to my faith.
Well, I want to help you because you were in that cult for so long, and you probably would be able to help me with expertise inside of J-Dubs that I would never know otherwise. So write us, okay?
Thank you, Matt.
All right, Matt. God bless, Greg. All right, let's get to Ryan, if he's still there from Pennsylvania. Welcome. You're on the air.
Thank you, Matt. And again, I appreciate you inviting me to call back anytime.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question. I was reading the Canons of Dort, and I don't know if your audience knows it or not, but the Canons of Dort was the first official document written to explain Calvinism. And I was reading in the Canons of Dort, that was written in 1618. And according to the Canons of Dort, it says, quote, this we teach for the comfort of the believer, unquote. And it repeats that more than a half dozen times. And I was wondering, because it is its stated purpose is the comfort of the believer, doesn't it fall to the same judgment that you're putting on other churches that are trying to provide comfort to its members?
No.
Why not?
Because they're biblical.
Okay, so biblical comfort is of the believer is okay. That's its stated purpose.
Yes.
Okay. By the way, we've had vaccine mandates in this country for over five decades, How come those other vaccine mandates were not an attempt at totalitarian control of our population, like the COVID vaccine?
Good question. Why the change? Why is the government now using it to force itself upon people and restrict their movements and their freedoms and force them to take something they don't want to? That's a good question. You're right. Why would they do that?
We've been doing that for 5 decades.
We have? You have it documented that we've been doing that for 5 decades?
Yes.
I haven't found it in the weeks and weeks of research I've been doing on COVID. Maybe you could find it and give it to us.
You ever hear of measles, whooping cough, yellow fever?
And polio?
Those have been mandated for over 50 years.
Uh-huh.
They've been mandated for over 50 years.
What do you think of the COVID vaccine?
How come those vaccines were not also totalitarian control?
I don't know, because the government wasn't whacked like it is now. They're using it for totalitarian control.
It's a vaccine mandate, and you were...
If you have you have documentation, you show it to me. Don't just say it. So did you take the vaccine?
Okay.
Did you take the vaccine?
Of course I did.
You know that natural immunity is up to 13 times better than the COVID vaccine? Did you know that?
Yes.
So why should I take it?
If I've
had COVID?
Because the... we've lost over more people to COVID than we have to the 1918 Spanish flu epidemic.
The statistics. Your statistics are off.
Hold on.
No, they're not. Why should I take as they are? Because I know the statistics, okay? Their proportion and percentage is off.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do. I'm doing the research. Now, look, I'm going to ask you a question here. Why is it I should take a vaccine if I already have natural immunity that's up to 13 times better than the vaccine?
Because of the same reason you take measles vaccine and whooping cough vaccine and measles vaccines and the rest that are also been mandated.
I already have immunity to COVID. I've had COVID. I have immunity. Up to 13 times better. Now, again, why should I take a vaccine that is about 13 times less efficient than what I've already experienced? Why should I take it?
Well, because we have, it's a public health issue and we're trying to do it for the public. And
if the vaccines work, then I shouldn't have to get vaccinated if I've already had the COVID virus and I'm 13 times more strong antibodies than they'd have. Shouldn't be a problem then, right?
Well, according to the statistics, the Moderna vaccine, which is what I got, you have like 180%.
We're out of time. Go do the research. Go to CARM. Look at the graphs. The more people that are vaccinated, the more deaths there are in a country.
You're getting
tabloid,
Matt.
Go check it out. And no, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Hey, folks, we're out of time. Nate, sorry about that for waiting for a half hour. Call me back tomorrow. We'll talk, okay? God bless everybody. We'll talk to you later. Bye.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.